Welcome to Camera Dojo, the official podcast of CameraDojo.com, where we help you make the most out of your photography. This is episode something like 38 now. We've been kicking it for a while. This is your host, Cary Garrison, and with me is David Esquire. Hey, David.
Hola, Cary. ¿Cómo está? Coming to you live with no voice in Huntington Beach.
Yeah, we're still both a little trashed from WPPI.
It's crazy. I mean, it was definitely the Uber experience, and anybody that was there knows exactly what we're talking about. And oh my gosh, I can't believe just how intense and how insane we all went for it. And then coming home, it's like, and our bodies reminded us that, yeah, you really can't push it that hard no matter how old you are.
That's true. But even if you didn't go to any of the master classes, just the platform speakers were incredible.
They were. David Zeiser rocked it.
Oh, I mean, you know I'm a huge fan of David's. So
yes.
To see him for 2 hours, it was incredible. I mean, I think I probably got more out of that 2 hours than probably anything in the last year.
And the same went for me listening to Parker Pfister. I mean, Parker was just such an inspiration for me a few years ago when I needed that shot in the arm. And to be able to sit in a class with him and go up there after the class and, you know, meet him and just, wow, it was just so moving. It was very surreal. That would be a good word.
For moving, I think Joe Photo's closing was
definitely. Yeah, Joe brought it home. He really just encapsulated the entire program for the whole week, and I thought he did a phenomenal job just wrapping it up. And the whole bit about having everybody read their Yugoogles.
Yeah, that was interesting. It was a good closing. I really appreciated what he was saying and how he presented it to everybody. I think anyone who was there, which was not everybody. I mean, it was not as big as the other platforms because people were, you know, left on Wednesday to go home and stuff. But if you have even been considering going, and I know a lot of guys who are like, oh, I don't know whether I should go or not. Well, you should go because yes, you get a lot out of it. And you, just the experience, the networking, the interaction with other people, the platform speakers, the trade show floor, it's certainly worth going to. And you don't have to spend a ton of money to go. You can stay in an inexpensive hotel for, you know, 50, 60 bucks a night right there on the strip. You can, you know, take the monorail instead of taking cabs back and forth. And you can do it on a budget. It's just, you just have to think through it a little bit.
Yeah, the monorail bit, I wish we would have remembered that a couple days earlier into the trip, but we remembered it nonetheless, and we were able to save a few bucks those last few days, and that makes a difference. And like you were saying about staying in a little bit less expensive rooms, either on the strip or off the strip, we stayed at the IP, the Imperial Palace, and I was very happy with the rates for the entire week for the two of us. It was like, I think, $550 after taxes and fees. I mean, that right there says a lot. And to be right on the strip, we had a good room on the 16th floor with a balcony.
Well, we were also there longer than most people because we came Friday and the show didn't start till Monday. So you could have saved several days of that had we not gone out there early to do photo shoots.
Exactly. We had the two engagement shoots with our clients, and then we did the behind-the-scenes footage with Jeff and Dana Sipper, and that turned out fabulous. I really love the piece you put together for them.
They actually posted that on their blog at sipperphotography.com last night.
So, awesome.
I was pretty happy. That was kind of cool. It was an experiment to see how that would go, and they actually ended up using it, so I was pretty thrilled with that.
That's cool. Right on. So why are we here?
Well, we do have a really cool guest coming up, but I think before that, we should run through the news and let's not spend a whole lot of time, but we should pick out some of the big highlights from WPPI for the people who have missed it. But you really want to go to CameraDojo.com, and we have a bunch of videos there with all kinds of interviews. You can see all the cool stuff that was there. But I think one of the biggies, which is why it rated its own article on Camera Dojo last week, was the announcement of Pictage Lite.
Yes, that was absolutely huge. But, you know, I got to be honest, I thought it was going to be something about you and Vu taking a nap on the love sack, but I'll have to go with the Pictage Lite as well.
But we do have a video of that, so it's all good.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was
Darren
really...
and Vu sitting in a love sack. It doesn't quite rhyme.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't roll. It doesn't roll that well.
It was comfy, though.
Yeah, you were taking a nap, which we snapped that. Oh yeah, we busted
Pitage
you.
Byte is the Pitage print service that many pro photographers use, but at a cost for entry-level people. It's a $1.99 a year, and you can sell prints, you can do albums, you can do a bunch of things. You just don't have all of the features of the full version. You don't have free album design, and you don't have some of the other things. But if you go to the website, you'll see a list of the comparisons between the two. And I think for what you're getting for $199 is quite substantial.
Yes. And like you pointed out, you know, you don't get all the features, but for under $200 for the entire year, that really gets you into the position where you can utilize all the tools and all of the back end materials that they have available to you, because there's so much that they put into their products and all the research and all the polls that they run. And they will, you know, there's so many times where they'll let you know what, you may want to make some adjustments here, that you may want to tweak your pricing there. It's really an awesome experience. I've been very happy with it. And I think that this is a good opportunity for people to get in and try out the services and get more familiar with it. And as they grow with their studios and with their companies, I'm sure that Pictage will be that much more of a partner for them, to where when they want to go pro for the service where it's $99 a month, then they can take that extra step. But this is a great way to get started.
I absolutely agree. The other biggie, my personal favorite, is, and I can't wait to, well, I actually did try it while we were out there, but I can't wait to get my hands on it, is the new Pocket Wizard.
Oh, yeah.
This thing is really cool, because the first version that's coming out is for Canon. It supports the full ETTL, and you can have all the functions of your flash, but in a radio remote now. So these things are actually really small. It only takes up maybe 3/4 inch on top of your hot shoe. You can put your other flash on it. You can have remote flashes. It's really a great system. And it wasn't that expensive. I think the transmitter was like 190 something, and the transceiver was 219.
So I believe that was right.
The pricing is really good compared to other solutions out there, and it's full ETTL compatible. So, you know, if you were trying to do some cool off-camera flash before with Canon, you know, you were running into limitations with the infrared. Well, now it's going to be radio. All that goes away, and it has all this technology in it for the multi-mac stuff from before, so you shouldn't have problems with radio interference or other photographers, because there's multiple channels. There's all kinds of cool stuff that you can do with these things. So I got to shoot with them on Monday night out there. They were really cool. I'm very impressed with them, and I cannot wait to get a set for myself.
And also, Carrie, I wanted to point out that they're backwards compatible. So for somebody like myself and a lot of our listeners that may currently have some Pocket Wizards, they can totally use them. Now, it won't be ETTL, you know, for the current Pocket Wizards that we have, but it will wake them up from the hibernate mode. It will activate them, so you could just basically control your manual settings on your current Pocket Wizards, which is really cool. And this really pushes me to the side of the fence that I was hoping to go, because I thought about getting the radio poppers, but then I was stuck with this technology with the current Pocket Wizards that I had. So now I can utilize my current equipment as soon as the new ones come out. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's huge. See, what are some of the other things?
New lenses.
New lenses. There's some new tilt shift lenses. If you're into that, Canon announced their two new tilt shift lenses, which are very, very cool. They've got a 17 mil and a 24 mil, and those should be really cool. If you're into architecture, they're almost indispensable. I've seen some photographers use them for weddings and some other things. Not so much in nature photography, but absolutely, if you're doing architecture, real estate stuff, these things, I mean, they can be a lifesaver, because you can do perspective correction right in camera.
And we also have a promotion going on the website with Lens Baby, where they're offering a free Lens Baby wide-angle lens offer for all of our dojo listeners, our dojoians.
Yes, if you are thinking of getting a composer, or you've just got one, you can take that receipt and get a free wide-angle lens for your composer. You're going to hear more about that in the upcoming break. We're going to have a little commercial about that, you know, little sponsors slide. So we won't go into a whole lot of detail on that, but definitely check it out. I mean, The wide angle kit really adds to the effect of using the lens baby.
And you've got it, if I remember correctly, you've got the wide angle kit, and you were able to get within inches of
No,
different
I
things.
actually have the macro
The
kit.
macro one, my bad. I'm sorry. Sorry,
Yes,
everybody.
and I'm going to be playing around with the macro kit, and I do have a wide angle kit on order. It should be here in a few days, so I'm going to be playing around with that. So you'll get to see kind of a range of different things you can do with the Composer. You know I'm a big fan. I love the thing. And you just bought one when we were at WPPI, so
Yeah.
looking forward to seeing what you're going to do with yours as well.
Woo-ha.
Now, the big stuff, we have a bunch of videos. We have five different videos from WPPI, and these are interviews with different manufacturers. There's companies like Studio Taxi, Croplines, Kubota Imaging, BorrowLenses.com, VooBooey, Trendy,
Shoot Sack.
ShootSack.
Yeah.
It's on and on. I mean, there's a bunch of different video interviews. So if you want to see what you've missed out on, just go to cameradojo.com and there's a bunch of videos on there so that you can kind of get caught up on what's been going on out there. We highly recommend you going out next year and partying with us. I mean, meeting with us. And
Also,
it is a
oh, I'm
great
sorry.
show. If you're into wedding and portrait photography, this is a good show for you.
And I do want to let everybody know, we ran into some technical issues. We got out there, and my current HD camera that I had, something happened in the trip and it completely died. We went to pick out a new camera. We got a new camera, but we couldn't find a mic to go with it. So I just want to let everybody know the sound quality, it's not that great. But we brought the content. We did our best to get to as many people as we could. There were literally dozens of other people that we wanted to chat with and that wanted to chat with us. But because of how insanely packed it was, we weren't able to bring a lot of the show to you. But we did our best to get as much to you and get that quality of the product, or not the product, but the quality of the video and the sound to you as well. But kind of just, shrug it off a little bit. Sorry, our bad, but there was nobody available with any microphones of all the places in Vegas. It was crazy.
Now, we checked everywhere. We did the best we can. Please bear with it. And, we hope you enjoy it. A lot of people are
Yes.
commenting on it. There's still a week left to get into the Converging Lines contest. So check that out. And we need to close that up next Friday, this coming Friday, I believe,
Yeah.
and get Roberto back on to help us pick a winner out of the, over 100 entries that we have right now. So it's going to be tough. There's a bunch of really good ones.
And he was floored when we told him in Vegas how many people have already, submitted their images. He just looked at us like, "What?" And his wife was just like, "You're kidding." It's like, "No, it's pretty popular. It's a lot of butts we got to look at, I guess." No, I'm
Yeah,
just kidding.
and also make sure you check out our new mascot, OG.
Yes. OG's in the house.
Yes, we got a new logo, a new mascot. You'll see him around the site. And right now we're just calling him OG. And if you have a better name for him, then please adjust it. But let's get to our interview, our conversation, if you will, with Kurt Aponovich. And Kurt is a longtime filmmaker and been in photography for a number of years and is fusing the two medias together. And he'll talk about what that means and the fusion of video and still photography and where he sees that going and some steps that you can take to kind of get involved with that and see if that's a direction that you want to take your stuff.
I think a lot of people are really going to enjoy the conversation that we had with him. He had a wealth of information to present and just the different perspectives about combining the two different technologies and the two mediums as well, how they're all coming together and becoming a little bit more of a seamless package. And I mean, for some people, it could be freeing because they've got so many creative ideas. And, our thought process tends to move at the speed of light sometimes when it comes to different ideas. So I think that Kurt's going to shed a lot of light on some different thoughts for different people out there.
Well, let's get to it. And when we get back from the break, we'll be here with Kurt Aponovich. And we are here with Kurt Aponovich, a well-renowned photographer in Southern California, but you also have quite a background in film. So why don't you take a couple minutes and tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
You guys mind if I laugh randomly?
No, no, because we will.
Okay, it's been that kind of day. So, basically, my background started about 15 years ago in film and television. Actually, started in professional audio. I moved out here with my buddy from Florida, and he worked for a company called DigiDesign, now owned by Avid, and they made audio mixing software. So it was really, really new at the time. And once we moved out here, there weren't that many mixers that knew it. So, excuse me. I got a call from a company named Film Technology, and they had a Pro Tools, and they had nobody to run it. So I got a job within a week of me being in L.A. Excuse me. You guys edit this, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to sneeze a lot. Okay.
I have to take the word totally out of, like, 50 times every time David's on.
Totally. So. Totally understand what you're saying.
Totally.
Excuse me. So what I did for them was I remastered old films. Actually, the first time I saw Citizen Kane was when I remastered the audio for it. So I did about 300 of those, and as you can imagine, I got completely burnt on that. So I moved on to working at ABC Television as mixing, then Fox, and then kind of started my own little production company with my best friend who moved out here from Florida a year after me. We purchased an Avid editing system, excuse me, and started doing videos for ourselves, and then got contacted by what would eventually be our, excuse me, I'm going to start that over. There we go, and I'm back in. A woman named Yvonne contacted us from Warner Records and said, we want you guys to do a music video first, but we don't have any money. What we do have is a lot of footage that the lead singer, the band shot. It was Jane's Addiction. The lead singer, Perry Farrell, shot a bunch of surfing videos and, like, vacation videos. And she said, you know, can you make this into a music video for the song called Ocean Size? So we did that and cut that together, and they really, really loved it. And that was kind of our in with Warner Records. We kind of proved ourselves with them. So we ended up doing a lot of editing for, it's called WEA. I think it's Warner Electric Atlantic. It's like, basically they do presentations. They take them around the world to, you know, like record companies, to radio stations, investors, and kind of sell the bands in different parts of the world and of the country. Excuse me. And then from there, we kind of moved into our first little office. We did mixing and editing in the same room, so if I was ever mixing when they were editing, I'd have to mix on headphones. And then we kind of put on a false front that we were a little bigger than we were, so people would call up and ask for the mix room. I would answer, I'd put them on hold, and even on the pickup and say, mix room here. So that happened for a while, and then we kind of grew out of that building and purchased a building, I think, about 5 years ago. Time's flying, so I don't remember. But we moved into our our current building, and now we have 8 high-definition Avid, you know, mix room, graphics bays, and all that. So we do a lot of network promotions for, like, ABC, NBC. Like, you know, if a new show is coming up, like Lost or whatever, a new show on the network, they need to launch it. They need an entire launch package where you'd you basically do a shoot with the cast. You know, do about 30 different promos saying, you know, coming next season, you know, from the creators of so-and-so, Lost, all leading up to the premiere of the show. So that's a lot of what we do on that side, a lot of promotional work.
Wow.
And that's where we are today.
What I'm curious about is, like, how you would describe your style, because doing a lot of different promotional work in the entertainment industry, how did you develop something like that? Like, would you describe it avant-garde or film noir and traditional?
You know what? A lot of when we shoot, I love shooting. I don't really like editing too much because it becomes a grind. But shooting, when you're on set with a crew, you know, like 30, 40, 50 people, and there's just a there's an energy there, and you can feel it, and you know you're bouncing ideas off each other and working out problems. But what I would do is I would always hang out with the director of photography, because you know you would kind of tell him a look you want, and then he would direct the crew on getting that particular look. I was always fascinated, you know, especially if we're on a stage, and you know you walk in and it's a complete empty stage, and you say, you know, well, this is what we need. We need this set, we need this room, we need that. And then, you know, they would build it in a day. You know, the director of photography would direct all the lighting, and, you know, now you have an entire house, or at least, you know, five or six rooms of a house built inside a stage. And, you know, it looks real, and you're just, you see the end result, and it's just kind of fascinating to me, like the process anyway. But back to your question, I would just hang out with the director of photography, like for every single shoot, and just watch what they did and kind of learn from them. So I don't know that I could really, you know, describe my style. I just, you know, I just kind of do what I've seen and kind of make it my own and,
right,
you know, just go from there.
That's cool. That's really cool. And it's interesting how you're pointing out that you put in your dues, that you were, you know, really just doing what you could to get a feel for the market, or not the market, but the industry, I should say. Now, when you were doing that, like, what broke you into the photography industry, and like, how did the film experience kind of play into that?
Well, when we bought this building we're in right now about 4 years ago, I think it was 4.5 years ago, Robert Evans was in the building, and obviously he's a very well-known, established photographer. I've always loved photography. I've always loved, you know, especially when I would be hanging out with the directors of photography, just fascinated by what they were doing. And I've always loved still photography. I just never really got into it professionally. Excuse me. But once we bought this building and, you know, I started hanging out with Robert a lot and asking him questions, and, you know, his work speaks for himself. So every shot I liked of his, I'd say, well, how'd you do this, or what'd you do here? You know, same thing I would do with the directors of photography. I would just pick his brain and we would just hang out, and, you know, eventually I started going on and shooting with him, and got my first, I would say, professional camera about 4 years ago, and just started shooting with him a lot, and then, you know, shooting on my own. And, you know, going with him to weddings, he makes it look easy.
He makes
it look real easy, because nothing, you know, he's been doing it for 20 years, so nothing rattles him. And,
no.
You know, first one I did by myself, it, you know, I realized it wasn't that easy.
It's not. And it's funny when you see Robert in action, like you said, he does make it look easy, and you just kind of go, wow.
I mean, it's, you know, it's the same as, you know, myself in a situation of, you know, a network is spending $300,000-$500,000 on a shoot, and there's a ton of pressure on you. But, you know, I've been doing it for 15 years, so, you know, nothing would really rattle me in that situation. And then, you know, it's, you look at Robert in the situation he's in every single time, and, you know, nothing rattles him. He's seen everything. So, you know, it's very similar, but it was all new to me because I, you know, I'd never shot weddings before, and it was something new and fascinating to learn. So it was a lot of fun. And, we, you know, we shoot all the time to this day.
Did the experience in film help in photography, or did the process of putting together a production in video help at all in staging some of the photography that you do?
Oh, I mean, it helped tremendously because, you know, I understood lighting, I understood composition, I understood, you know, how to tell a story. I mean, you know, in still photography, you have to tell a story in one frame as opposed to, you know, shooting a video. But, you know, I understood a lot of the basics and a lot of the concepts behind photography just from doing production. I mean, a lot of it translates over, especially lighting and composition, for sure. But yeah, that helped me excel in photography, you know, a lot faster than if I had just started out, you know, without knowing anything production-wise.
Because I look at, let's take a particular shoot you did called Burnout, Trash the Dress Shoot. It has a very cinematic feel to it. It does in my mind, but, anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, when we're shooting, you know, take example of production. When we're shooting a production in the daylight, you know, we're still lighting it. you know, you still have the big lights up there, and, you know, you're still bouncing light all over the place just to get a really good, consistent look. I'm talking, you know, video-wise and film-wise. So, you know, when I shot that, I just used a couple strobes, and I knew the look I wanted to go for, which is, you know, the look you're talking about. So, yeah, I mean, it was easy to do a shoot like that, at least for myself, because I know exactly, you know, the look I was going to get with those two strobes, you know, in the middle of the day. A lot of people have seen that shoot and asked what I used to light it. And it's just, you know, two Zeus strobes. And it's just simple lighting, but it gives you a really, really cool look. And it's, you know, it's lighting that would translate over to film and video as well. Even though they're strobes, it's still the basic concept is the same.
Yeah, it's a very cool shoot.
And, yeah, that was fun. That was really fun.
I'll link, there's a video on Vimeo about it, and I'll link to that so people can check it out. Because it's pretty cool to watch you in action and all the cars burning out and the effects that you got with that. Even though I, you know, really like my fog machine, I think that worked out. So, little inside story.
Yeah, you're attached to your fog machine. I've seen that firsthand.
We won't talk about being attached to different things. So. There's an
interesting story behind that shoot. A photographer on our website, Photographer Mentor, he lives up there in Canada. I actually shot that in Canada. You know, I got to talking to him, and he said he knows this couple. We were talking about doing a trash to dress shoot, and he said he knows this couple that got married a couple months ago and haven't heard from their photographer since. They can't get a hold of them. He lives in a different part of Canada, and no images. Can't get a hold of him. He said, you know, do you want to do a shoot with them? And I said, well, I've always wanted to do a shoot, you know, a trash to dress shoot where a car is burning out and, you know, the couple's just standing there in the midst of all this smoke. Then he told me that one of his friends owns a replica of the General Lee from Dukes of Hazzard, so my ticket. He's like, you want to use that car? I'm like, sure, dude. I'm on the way.
Because so, there was that and a, what was that, like 2008? Mustang?
Yeah, Mustang. That was another member of the site. She drove in from like 8 miles away, and that was the car she rented.
It was very cool.
And she actually told the guy that she rented it from, she's like, look, I guess she knows him. She said, we're going to do a shoot, you know, burn the tires. He's like, all right, let me just see the photos. So it was fun.
Is that right? It was fun. Nice. Uh-huh. The shot's beautiful.
That was a lot of fun.
I mean, the shots are stunning. I mean, they look really even HDR-like. The colors are so vibrant, and that's good stuff. But now
I was afraid going back across the border because, you know, I smelled like smoke. Oh, my God. I'm like, you know, they're going to stop me at the airport and be like, why do you smell like smoke? I'm like,
You know, you should include a link in the show notes for that, Carrie. I think that would be really cool.
I will, because it's a very cool shoot, and the pictures are beautiful from it. As soon as I saw it, I'm like, oh man, I got to do something like that. That's very cool. It's really, really neat looking. But so you've got this background in film, and you've been working on photography, and now you're putting them together.
Yeah.
Fusion. So you got to sit right. Fusion.
Photo fusion. Can you guys echo that if I say it like really cool?
Yes, yes.
Photo fusion.
Okay.
And then my next career is going to be voiceover on telephone via Skype.
Hey, could be a career in that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was really excited when the 5D Mark II came out just because of the capability of shooting, you know, super high-res stills and, you know, very good quality high definition in the same camera. And not alone, just the use of the lenses alone, just because you can use the Canon lenses and shoot high def is, you know, a huge plus. You know, I've had a few directors actually call me and ask me where I got mine because, you know, nobody could get them. We got them, we were on the waiting list, I don't know how long, for a few months. And then once I got it, of course, I immediately tweeted about it and said, oh, I got my 5D Mark II. We're going to Miami to shoot. And people were calling me up like, where'd you get it? How'd you get it? And these are like, you know, directors of, you know, million-dollar commercials wanting to get their hands on this thing, which is kind of eye-opening to me.
Wow.
But, you know, everyone wants to get it and play with it and see what they can do with it, which is, you know, it's exciting. I think it's a complete game changer for sure, you know, because you have, you know, you have a tool now that photographers are used to holding in their hands and they know how to operate. And now they can, you know, very easily shoot high-quality, high-definition video with it. So we see some interesting things, I think.
They can easily shoot it, but editing it, putting it together, and using it is something entirely different, which is not part of a normal photography workflow today.
No, not at all. I mean, video editing, you know, professionally at least, is a whole other animal. It's a lot to learn. And it's, I mean, it can be tedious. You know, you shoot how many stills at a wedding? 1,500 maybe, you know, and you could roll off, you know, I think I shot a wedding a couple of weeks ago. I think I rolled off 17 4-gig cards.
Oh, my gosh.
I was shooting video alone, just video the entire wedding. And I had 18 Lexar cards, 4-gig Lexar cards. I only had one left. So, you know, that's a ton of media to begin with, just to deal with and, you know, wade through and, you know, find your shots. But, I mean, it's exciting because I think it's a whole new world for photographers, especially, you know, wedding photographers, you know, like lifestyle photographers. Picture a lifestyle photographer that, you know, does a shoot with a family for a day. You know, they get their stills covered, and then they roll video for a few hours, and, you know, now they have an entire new product that they can sell this family. And, it's, you know, it's not something they could have offered or would have wanted to offer, you know, just a few months ago. You know, because I don't know many photographers that are going to want to go out and buy a high-definition video camera and learn how to use it. You know, but they will want to learn how to use the camera that they 90% already know the controls of. You know what I mean?
Although it's not perfect for doing video, and the current camera does have limitations in what you can do and the image stabilization and focus, and so it's certainly not a camcorder replacement. So I'm not really sure that, you know, big lengthy videos are necessarily what a lot of photographers are going to get into. Although small discrete pieces of video in a slideshow or something is probably where I think most people will probably start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's where most people, you know, should start, because editing a full-length video right off the bat is going to be, you know, you're going to be pulling your hair out. But if you could put, you know, you can put a 10 to 15-minute piece together, you know, mixed with your photos that you took, and, you know, that's still a viable product for, you know, a family or a bride and groom. But yeah, you're right. You know, I did a test. I just wanted to see. I shot two 5D Mark IIs at this wedding. I was the only person shooting video. For the ceremony, I just put one in the back on a tripod and ran the wireless mics to it. And that recorded audio fine. Everything was good there. And then I kind of roamed around during the ceremony with a 70 to 200 on and did some more B-roll shots. And it came out really, really well. I mean, it looked great. Robert was shooting stills, so we, you know, we cut together stills in there, and it was probably about 14, 15 minutes long. And
really?
You know, but yeah, it was good. Well, because I recorded the entire ceremony, and I was shooting the entire day, too. But, you know, 14, 15 minutes, and then if the bride and groom want the entire ceremony, it is on there. You know, I can put that on a DVD as well, but it's not all that fascinating. It would be to them because it's their ceremony, but to me, you know, it's just another half-hour ceremony that I shot. But, you know, with a 15-minute recap with still images, that's something that, you know, they could put on their iPods, have with them wherever they want, put it on their iPhone, or, you know, it's a great different version of a memory of their wedding. You know, and I think bride and grooms, I think couples are going to pay for that. They'll want to pay for that once they see it. I think you might have to prove it to a few people.
Right.
Like do a few before you can, you know, obviously you want to do a few and then show it as a product you offer. But like we just did this one for free. We knew there wasn't going to be videographers at the wedding. So I said, look, let's get another photographer to second shoot for you. And then I'll roll video exclusively and just see what we get. Because you're right. I mean, if I really wanted to shoot an entire wedding, you know, to make like a half hour, 45 minute video, I'd probably shoot it on, you know, like a Sony or, you know, a professional high def video camera. because it is easier to use for sure.
Now, when you're shooting all this video footage, and you had talked about you said 17 cards, 17 4-gig cards. That's a lot of storage, and that was just video. Now, has that really impacted your storage capabilities, your production capabilities, things like that? Because this is a totally separate medium than shooting tape and then, you know, having onboard hard drives with the camcorders and things like that. So have you seen an exponential increase in what you're needing to do, and has it really changed a lot of what you've got to do for your production?
Me personally, no, because I'm used to, you know, our Avids have a huge RAID that all of them are connected to, RAID here for photos. Everything we shoot for the website is shot, we shoot in high definition. So me personally, I'm used to having, you know, massive amounts of storage. You know, I think the website, the content we have for photographymentor.com has, I'm counting the drives right now, probably about 18 terabytes worth of media.
Oh my gosh.
Just high definition video we've shot over the last year and a half. So, I'm used to having that, but I think, you know, most photographers aren't going to be used to, you know, or aren't aware of how much space this video takes up. And I actually convert everything from the 5D into Apple ProRes, which is a different video codec. So, I mean, the camera shoots H.264, which, you know, compresses it and it keeps the file size down a little bit, but once you convert it to ProRes, it can double or triple the file size.
You're not going to be editing a full-length video on a Mac Mini with that kind of storage. The processing power and everything is just not up to the task. I mean, you need some significant horsepower if you're doing that high-def video editing.
Well, it depends. I mean, I edited, it is a MacBook Pro, but I edited a lot of what we shoot for the website on a MacBook Pro with Final Cut Pro, and it's pretty flawless. I just have a, you know, FireWire 800 drive hooked up to it, a 500 gig that I take on the road, and in real time, it's pretty rock solid. It is a whole different ballgame when you shoot 1500 stills and you edit it in Aperture or Lightroom, and that could take you 2, 3, 4 hours. But if you want to edit an entire wedding video, or at least a 15-minute recap, you're looking at about a day. To do it right, to get a, to tell the story, to, you don't just want to throw down video and stills and kind of have a non-cohesive piece.
Right.
When I shot with Robert, we kind of had a game plan. Obviously, every wedding has, kind of a storyline, a timeline that, every wedding kind of follows. They're all different, but pretty much the same thing is going to happen throughout the day for every wedding. So we knew what was going to happen throughout the day, and we kind of mirrored each other. It was a little bit different way of shooting. Like, if you shoot with a second shooter for stills, you want them to shoot completely different shots than what you're shooting. But I was shooting specifically video to edit together with Robert's photos. So we were kind of mirroring each other the whole day. He would set up a shot, whether it's a ring shot or a shot with the bride, and I would be by his side. He would shoot it, and I would roll video on it. Or I would find a shot, and I would shoot it, and I'd say, hey, Rob, grab some stills of this, and then I would move on. And it's just, if you shoot with a purpose like that, it just cuts together a lot, very seamlessly, as opposed to random video shots and random photos. You know what I mean? It just helps to tell the story a little better, and instead of shooting random shots anyway.
Absolutely. You have to have kind of a storyline in your head and then execute that. And then when you're editing, you want to, again, tell that same story back. So
exactly.
Now that we've kind of covered both sides of this and how they're kind of coming together, why don't you take a minute and tell us about Engage?
Yes.
Engage is something we've been wanting to shoot for quite a while. And videographers might not like me for saying this, but 90% of the people that walk in here to book Robert or one of us at Robert Evans Studios for photography, the natural question is, do you guys do video as well? Because normally they're looking for their photographer first. Once they lock them down, I'm talking about event or wedding photography, and then they'll ask for video. So, you know, we've been wanting to, especially with my background, we've been wanting to add that service, videography for weddings. But I didn't want to do specifically, just the standard packages for weddings. I'd rather just wait for a camera like this, which, everybody knew was coming out. Wait for a DSLR that shot high quality video, and then offer the 15 to 20 minute recap. So we launched a new division of Robert Evans Studios called Engaging Films, and Engage was the film that we kind of launched it with. And the story behind that is it's basically about a guy asking a girl to marry him. They get engaged, and it follows them throughout the day where he kind of contacts her and says, sends her a text and says, tonight is the, the beginning of a new era in our relationship. Someone will pick you up at 6. So it starts there, and then they both kind of get ready throughout the day. It kind of flashes back through just showing a little bit deeper connection with them. They're both, the couple we used were both salsa dancers, so we did like a dancing scene to kind of show the connection between them, and that they're in love and all that. So, and then the storyline follows him to a floating helipad in front of Miami. It's floating in the downtown Miami harbor. And then she gets picked up and then brought to a helicopter, and the helicopter brings her to the helipad, and that's where he proposes, and they get engaged. So that was obviously a test of the camera as well. We were kind of excited to see what it would do with low light because we wanted to shoot it at night in Miami. You guys interviewed Carlos Paez a few weeks back, I think. He is the third partner on Engaging Films, so we have offices in Los Angeles and Miami. And that was kind of a fun film to do, and just kind of the piece to feature on engagingfilms.com when people go there.
Yeah, we'll definitely link to that as well. It's a beautiful piece that anyone should look at, and you have that mix of video as well as stills that fuse the whole thing together. That's this whole concept of fusion of photography and video and bringing these pieces together.
Yeah.
But there's also an interesting...
Go ahead.
Are you sounding a little distorted, or are we sounding distorted to you at all?
You're a little muffled, but not distorted.
Okay. You seem to drop off there for a little bit. It's a little odd, since you're supposed to be on a landline and we're not.
I will speak up.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, we basically shot, we did a video shoot and a still shoot at the same time with Engage. It was shot over a two-day period. We had, our whole crew was from our website, photographymentor.com. We just contacted people on the website that lived in Florida and said, we're coming down there to shoot. Do you want to be a part of it? And they all came out and, worked for free and had a blast. And, they learned a lot as well, which is kind of fun, just to see how excited they were to be a part of it. And then also we're going to use that in the, we're coming out with a Photo Fusion DVD to kind of teach the basic concepts of editing, and how to shoot for this type of a product and this type of a, this type of a video.
What's a few just beginner tips for people who are just getting these cameras? Where should they really start before you have that available? And that'll be on photographymentor.com, and of course we'll have links to that as well so people can find that. But just for people who just want to get started and start experimenting with it, what's a few quick tips that you can share to get someone started?
Learn that camera up and down, for sure. Because we had the camera, we received the camera 4 days before we were in Miami shooting with it, which at least for me wasn't enough time to get out there and use it a lot and, learn its pitfalls and learn its strengths. And, we were shooting that very much on the fly. So the biggest thing I would think is, you're going to, when you're shooting a video, or at least you're telling a story, it's very much like photography in that aspect, to where, you want to tell a story, so approach it that way instead of just shooting random, like B-roll shots. You want to, for example, if you're shooting a wedding, you want, obviously you're following the bride, You know, you're following current day. So the shots you're shooting, shoot them with a purpose. Don't just shoot random video, because the more video you shoot, the more time you're going to have to spend going through it. But if you're shooting video and stills to mix together, you know, try to shoot smaller shots. That way, you know, when you're shooting a shot of whatever it is, you know, a car driving towards you, you know, shoot that with video and then shoot a very similar shot with still. And then it's almost like, you know, a really high definition freeze frame where the car is coming and boom, now it's a still and you can do some moves on that. But shoot with a purpose after you learn the camera, of course. At least in my mind, I didn't know the camera enough when I was shooting with it for Engage. So, you know, me as a professional video producer, I look at it and I see shots that bother me, but 90% of people won't really pick up on. But it's a lot different shooting with that camera, shooting video, than if you've shot with a high definition video camera. You mentioned, you know, it's kind of shaky. I would invest in a monopod at least. You know, when I shot the wedding, I shot 90% of the shots on a monopod just to get super steady shots. Because, you know, if you try to hand hold that camera with a 70 to 200 millimeter lens on it and zoomed all the way in and try to get a steady shot, you know, good luck. It's very, very hard to do. But if you're on a monopod, you know, you're gonna get a really, really good shot.
Well, that's one of the things that I don't think people really realized is they're like, hey, I'll be able to shoot video and I'm using image stabilization lenses. But yeah, they don't really do anything for you.
It's a little different, yeah. I mean, you know, if you ever used somewhat of a professional video camera, or even, you know, really high-end consumer ones, you know, if you zoom in, the image stabilization on that camera works a lot better than if you're on a 70-200 millimeter lens on a Canon 5D Mark II. It's just, it's all over the place if you don't have something to stabilize that, like a tripod or a monopod. You know, that's another thing I learned on Engage. We went off the first night we were there in the helicopter to shoot B-roll shots over Miami. And I got back and I was just a little upset that some of the shots were shaky. I mean, of course, we're in a helicopter and it's windy, but so what we did was the next day is we got a gyroscope and we went back up again. And those shots were just rock solid. So, you know, little things like that. And that is a big issue with that camera and shooting video is, you know, when you're zoomed in 70 to 200 and you snap still, it's crystal clear. But, you know, if you're rolling video, you see every little movement, every little shake, you know, especially if you're zoomed in on someone's face or, you know, you're trying to get really detailed shots.
Yeah, that definitely goes into learning that camera inside and out. I only had it for a weekend, like 4 days, and it was tough. I mean, I was struggling to learn it as quickly as I could, given the time frame that I had, and get something out of it that was as good as I wanted, which didn't really happen in 4 days. It was just, it's a lot to do in one time. But there's also some interesting technology that you use in there in the Engage film, and I want you to kind of talk about that a little bit, if you would, and that's your Photo Rotos.
Photo Rotos is also a reason we shot Engage as well. If you look at the film, you'll see some of the stills, and they're very subtle. The one that is the least subtle and the most obvious is there's a shot of the ring, a close-up of the ring where the groom is holding it, and you see the reflection in the mirror, and the ring looks like it's moving on a different plane than the reflection, a different dimensional plane. So right. It looks kind of three-dimensional, and that's something we've been doing in film and television for about 10 years. We started doing it where we would launch, you know, like animation shows on a network, and we would have to pull those characters off their backgrounds and put them together on a different background. That's called rotoscoping. So basically, you know, you trace the image, you know, make a layer out of it, pull it, and put it onto a different shot. So with photo rotos, it's the same concept to where you're basically tracing images, you're making multiple layers, and then you're animating those, you know, very slightly. Because you don't want it to look, if you animate it too much, it starts to look a little cheesy. You want a really, really kind of subtle effect. And we do that in After Effects, which is a whole other, that's a whole other bottleneck that you don't want to start messing with if you don't have a basic knowledge of it. That's an intense program. It does a lot, and but I've worked with it a lot over the years, and I know what it's capable of, and this is something that it does really, really well. But we launched that as well with Engaging Films at the same time, and, you know, we offer like minute-long slideshows. We call them photoroto slideshows, where you would send us 10 of your images, and we would make it into a QuickTime movie and animate, you know, rotoscope and animate each one of them. And we have those here at the studio when we have them just kind of displayed and playing on the monitors when a client walks in. It's very subtle, but they'll look at the image and it's moving, and it's not just zooming, it's moving, and it's, you know, the bride is separating from the background. It's very dynamic and very eye-catching.
So when you say someone can send you 10 images, are you then separating the layers from that one image, or do you need one background and one of the subject so that you can have the two different layers?
No, we're 99% of the time using the same image. So, you know, take for instance, you have a bride walking down the aisle. She's in the foreground. Everybody else is kind of in the background looking at her. So, you know, we'll rotoscope her. We'll rotoscope, maybe there's a balcony there, and then we'll rotoscope the people in watching her walk down the aisle. So now you have three layers. And then we'll animate each one of those at different speeds and kind of different direction. So now the photo looks like it's separating, and now the bride is getting closer to even drawing your attention to her even more. Maybe even the background is blurring out even more, so she's completely separating off the background. It's blurring, and your eye is really focused on her. So, you know, most of the time it's just from one still image.
That's amazing that you get that effect out of one image, because the things that you have on the PhotoRoto site as the example are, they're stunning. And when I was watching Engage and I saw the effects in there, I don't think I really noticed it the first time. It was the second time I was watching it. I was like, wait a minute, that's on multiple planes. Wait, what are they doing here?
No, you were just dropping acid, Gary.
I thought for a moment, I'm like, is that still image moving? What the hell?
It's the shrooms.
Oh, look at that.
The colors, the colors. Okay, there's an edit.
You got to leave it in.
You can beep it.
Now, one of the things that I did see that you did, even with the video, was to use the Lens Baby Composer. Mm-hmm. How did that work with using video?
We were up in Bend, Oregon, shooting with Kevin Kubota, and Craig Strong from Lens Baby, we met him last time we were up there, and we contacted him and said we're going to be doing this short film in about a week or two, and I'd love to see what, you know, because the Lens Babies are, they're really fun to shoot stills with to begin with, and I said I'd love to see what this does with video. So they just came out with the Lens Baby Composer, which is a little bit easier to use than the previous version. So he gave us a couple of those to use, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, it's you know, it's selective focus, as you know. So especially in video, just imagine if I'm trying to think of a shot that I used it on. When the girl is in the bathtub and everything around her is just kind of blurring out and just kind of oddly focused, and but her face is in focus. It really directs the attention to her, you know what I mean, the spot that is in focus. It, you know, it's a similar concept to PhotoRotos, and it just directs your attention to a certain point, especially with video, because everything is just kind of blurred out, and then there's one spot that you can focus on. And I love shooting with it. The lens flare you get off of them are kind of insane. There's a shot where the groom is in the car, and I mean, the guy's in the car, and he's driving, and you see these really cool, like, lens flares circle and, like, go right by him. That camera was just locked off, and those are lens flares from the streetlights. And it's just, it doesn't look like a normal lens flare. It looks distorted, and it looks really kind of eye-catching. But those are fun to shoot with, for sure.
Were some of the shots of her when she was in the bed looking at her phone, were those also done with the composer?
Yeah, that was actually done with the composer, and the other one, which is called the Muse. the composer you can lock off. Like you pick your focus point, you lock it. You can still move it around, but you can just unlock it. But the muse is more like, you remember the first lens, maybe?
Yes.
Where it's just kind of like, you know, you play with it and it's, you know, it focuses in and out, you bend it and all that.
Yep.
The muse is the updated version of that to where you can use all the attachments. She was kind of just rolling around the bed. I was moving around her, kind of focusing in and out. And we just kind of fell into a rhythm, which is kind of cool. Or there's a shot where it's out of focus, and then she rolls, and I kind of pan up her body, and then her face gets into focus. So that was a lot of fun to use. It was a little bit more challenging than the composer, because you can just basically lock it off. It's a little more challenging to find your focus point with that and hold it. But
right.
It's a lot of fun to use.
Yeah, I love that lens. But I mm-hmm. the one thing I didn't get it to do is play around with the video with it. But on the 5D Mark II with the full-frame sensor, that lens just kind of comes alive.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you really see the effect, especially with the moving video.
I'm kind of curious. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just
strike two.
You first.
I would say, you know, one more. Speaking of the stabilization, and this is kind of a basic for that camera and shooting video, but the wider lens you use, the smoother shots you can get. You know, for some shots on that, on Engage, I'm using a fisheye, and it's on a glide cam, and the shot looks, you know, flawlessly smooth. So, I mean, obviously, if you're on a 70 to 200 and you're zoomed in, you got to be rock steady. But if you're on a 16 to 35 and, you know, you're zoomed out, you can handhold that and get pretty smooth shots, pretty steady shots anyway.
Definitely. What I'm curious is you've got a lot of tools at your disposal, both with the computer platform and then with the cameras and things like that. And with all of this, and you'd mentioned just a little bit ago that you suggested that anybody that shoots, whether it be, in my opinion, I guess it would be whether it be video or still, that they should shoot with a purpose. And to do that, there has to be a level of inspiration. So I'm kind of curious, like, what inspires you? What keeps your ideas fresh for the different shoots and the different weddings and projects that you do? Because you've got all this, and sometimes it could get kind of overwhelming looking at, like, oh, my gosh, what do I do?
You know, obviously other photographers, other videographers, just, you know, talking to people and I'm not a huge blog sucker, so I don't look at other people's work a lot.
Really?
But I talk to a lot of photographers, and that's the way I see their work. Is, you know, we'll be on our website, IMing each other, and you know, you can send shots back and forth that way too. So, you know, the shoot that happened in Canada, the one you're talking about, the burnout shoot, I was inspired to do that partly from another photographer on our site. His name's Kyle, and just his, you know, he's been shooting, I think, professionally for a year. He went professional last year. And just his enthusiasm and his, you know, willingness to learn and just eagerness to shoot every day, no matter what it is, that's really what got me up to Canada. I mean, I spent my own dime to go up there and shoot this. And, you know, he somewhat talked me into it just because he was so excited to A, shoot with me and shoot something and shoot this. You know what I mean?
That's cool.
So just, you know, because you know, I talk to photographers every single day on our site, you know, what did you shoot? What are you shooting? You know, everyone wants to know what everybody else is shooting, how it went. You know, did you get any great shots? Or, you know, just people that are excited to shoot get me excited. And it doesn't really, for me, it doesn't really matter what I'm shooting. I just love to shoot, especially with other photographers. And that goes back to my production background to where, you know, when you're shooting a commercial, you're launching a television show, you know, there's 30, 40, 50 people on the crew, and, you know, there's ideas floating around, and that's the kind of situation I love to be in, is just, you know, being in a shoot with a lot of people and just coming up with something on the fly.
Now, you're talking about shooting with multiple photographers and different photographers and things like that. I know Carrie and I, we shoot a lot together, and I'm just thankful that we get to bounce a lot of ideas off of each other. But a big thing that does come up that we get asked from our listeners is, you know, do you set different boundaries with the other people that you shoot with? Like, I'm photographer A, you're photographer B, and here's a 7200 and go stand in the corner. Do you find that kind of dissipates when you get to a certain creative level, to where everybody's just in it for a collective whole? Or do you see it more when it's a defined opportunity, say a wedding?
Well, I can tell you that Kurt's a scene whore, you know, when we did the trash the dress shoot. So I just throw that out.
That had to be, you know, you were running the fog machine most of the time, so that was my excuse to get you out of the shoot. So I could get all the good shots.
He'd go, "Carrie, more hose. Get more water. I need more."
And getting hugs, too.
He was the hose man. He was the fog man.
I'm a giver.
Fog machine. Anybody who's listening, Carrie brought this fog machine that was just crazy. And then he said, "You know what? I didn't bring my good one, so I don't know what your good fog machine looks like." it's gotta be massive.
We had fun.
I mean, that was fun. I mean, you know, that shoot's a good example. Obviously, you know, the shoot was to get a bunch of photographers off our site together to do just a creative shoot. You know, I was somewhat, if you want to call it, the lead person, just to set up shots and everything. I would pick my angle, and then everybody would just fall in and shoot, you know, whatever they could find. And, you know, shoots like that, there's just no egos, and you're having fun. And, you know, after everybody shoots and we've, you know, frozen the bride for 5 minutes because we're spraying her with water and she goes inside, everyone's just looking at everybody else's shots and like, "Oh, look what I got, look what I got." And, you know, that's a lot of fun. And, you know, you learn a lot, too.
It was a total chimp fest.
Yeah, that was, you know, that was fun. I didn't expect a cold front to come in that day.
And poor girl.
The bride was very accommodating because we were probably spraying her with water for about an hour and a half total, which was not fun for her, but it was fun for us.
It was. It was a blast.
But, you know, if you're talking about a wedding, obviously there has to be a lead photographer. There has to be the photographer that is shooting the wedding. And then, you know, you have a second that, you know, a good second, at least in my mind, is not shooting the exact same thing the lead photographer is shooting.
Right.
They're covering different angles. They're shooting different people. You know, if the main photographer is shooting the bride, then the second photographer is with, you know, with the groom and his guys and shooting, you know, completely different coverage. You know, that's actually a big problem. Is there's a lot of photographers that will go out and shoot second, so they get photos for their website or for their book. I just, you know, spoke to a person on our site that asked me about that, and you know, this person had two photographers come with her as seconds that she'd never worked with before, and she said, you know, "I think they were shooting for themselves because I wanted them to do a certain, you know, cover a certain part of the wedding, and they didn't." And, you know, she said, I explained to them, "I'm going to be with the bride when she's walking down. You need to be here, and you need to be here shooting this." And she said they were completely gone when the bride was walking down the aisle, shooting other things for themselves, like, and not what she told them to do. And, you know, there needs to be a little level of respect because you really didn't get that wedding. I'm talking about the second shooter.
Right.
You know, you really didn't get that wedding. That's, you know, John Doe's wedding to shoot. You need to be there to support that photographer and shoot for that photographer. You know, if somebody asks you, if you're the second shooter at a wedding and someone says, "Hey, do you guys have a card? You guys did a great job." You know, you don't give them your personal card. You give them the photographer's card that you're shooting for because that's who you're representing that day. There's a great series on our site, website called Second Shooter, where Robert went and shot second for Dane Sanders at his wedding. And, you know, Robert and Dane talk about it. They sit down and talk about it after the wedding, where Dane kind of just said, "You know what, I really felt like you were on my team today." He goes, "You know, you're Robert Emmons, you're a celebrity photographer, and yet you are here to support me." And, you know, you learn a lot that way, too, instead of just going out and trying to shoot for yourself and get whatever you can get that day.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I mean, Dave and I have been shooting together for a few years now, and we now have a rapport. We now know what the other person is trying to do, what the other person's kind of, we have our own unique styles that we bring, and I know what he's trying to do, and I'll make sure I'm out of his way, and he'll make sure he's out of my way if I'm trying to get something. But we have a synergy because we've worked together on so many occasions. if for someone that you've never worked with before, it can be very, very different.
Yeah, and you guys trust each other too. You know you're not out, you know, for yourselves, and you know at the end of the day that if one of you shines, both of you shine. So, yeah, it's a problem, and I get contacted, you know, a lot about people that have worked with, you know, new second shooters and new people that, you know, they're somewhat doing a favor for by having them come to their wedding and shoot if they've, you know, only shot one or two weddings before, and they want to learn. But that's a big thing they need to learn, a big lesson they need to learn is that, you know, if it's not your wedding and you're shooting second, then you're not shooting for yourself. You're shooting for the main photographer.
You've mentioned on our site a few times. Mm-hmm. Why don't you talk about that site, which is photographymentor.com?
Yes.
I'm going to take a drink of water first. Can you edit that?
Okay, edit it out.
Lug, 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 lug. He says it's water.
He says it's water, yeah, I know.
You remember that video cast?
Mm-hmm. I'm claiming it's water, but it's clear liquid. Anyway.
Like Scarlet Lillian, it was vodka.
Edit more back in. Is this a real interview?
It's a conversation.
He's laughing and making fun of me the whole time. Anyway.
It's a chat. Like,
well, you have no idea what we're saying in instant messaging with when you're talking.
Are you going up as my headshot?
You know what we need to do is we definitely need to find a way to incorporate that photo of Carrie so we do have, you know, that relationship that you get to develop when you're working with other photographers.
Yeah. I don't know that I want that photo particularly as a relationship photo.
this is how you're supposed to act as a second photographer.
It could look like a relationship photo, but not the kind I want to be.
Lifestyle? So?
Something. Well, I think that Kurt said it appropriately earlier. Special.
It is special.
Yeah.
Okay, just in quotes, special, yes.
All right.
In the show notes.
Here we go. Photographymentor.com is a website I started with Robert Evans. And what started as a DVD, we wanted to do an educational DVD for Robert, which is called Mentor Wanted. It's actually for sale in the store on photographymentor.com.
I was going to let you know that I actually did get a copy of that, and it is a great video. You guys did a great job with that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It took a year to do, so it should be good. But that is an interesting story as well, because we wanted to do an educational DVD. And Robert was contacted on the TikTok forum by a photographer that had shot, I think, two or three weddings. But she had 13 booked. And she kind of felt lost. She kind of felt like she was, you know, not doing a great job, and she wanted to have a mentor. So she put up a post called Mentor Wanted, and Robert answered it, because she lives right in Pasadena where Robert lives. He answered it and said, you know, why don't you come to the studio and ask me whatever you want. And then we got to talk, and we said, why don't we just, you know, film that, because that's great content for sure. So she sat there for 2 hours and asked him every question in the book. We shot that, and Robert said, you know, why don't you come shoot third for me at a wedding and watch how I do it? I think you'll learn a lot that way as well. So she was kind of excited to do that. And then what we did, we shot them shooting kind of documentary style. And then he went to two of her weddings and mentored her through the entire weddings. Obviously, we cleared it with the couples. They knew we were going to be there, you know, shooting somewhat of a documentary.
Right. And
so he mentored her through two of her weddings, and then we went into the studio and did all the post-processing. You know, they sat together and edited all the images, and then they created a book. Each individually created a book. So that's a really... a very powerful DVD. It's very educational, and it's packed with educational content. But the problem was it took a year to complete from concept to finishing. So we got to talking and said, you know, why don't we just build an online website to where we can deliver this content, you know, a lot faster and in shorter segments. I think Mentor Wanted is almost 2 hours long. And if you watch it one time through, it's almost information overload. You have to watch it a few times to get everything. So, you know, we've been shooting with Robert a lot. So we said, why don't we build, you know, quote-unquote school online and just deliver, like, 10-minute clips. It'd be a lot easier, a lot faster, at least on a, from a production standpoint. So what we did is we shot for about a year. We shot a year of content, you know, with Robert. There's a lot of other photographers on the site as well, Dane Sanders, Sarah Franz, Carlos Baez, Kevin Kubota's on there. So what we did is we traveled around and shot with these photographers behind the scenes and shot them working and started editing clips together. And then we launched the school part of it in last February. We launched that with about 4 or 5 hours of content. So immediately, if you joined up for the school, you got, you know, what would be the equivalent of 2 or 3 DVDs worth of content, as we saw. Now we're up to about 20, 22 hours of educational content on there, video content. And then in last August, we launched the Playground, which is the companion to the school. It's more of the social networking side where you have your profile. You know, there's a chat room where we do live video chats with, you know, like top pros like Mirko, Sarah France, and they'll be in there live via Ustream, and then everyone will ask them questions, and they'll answer questions for 2 hours live in the chat room. So that's a lot of fun. And, you know, there's, I think, probably about 4,000 members on there right now. And
wow.
Interesting, because it's fun because you can, you know, it's been eye-opening because, you know, members contact me from around the world. Just like, you know, I'll be on the site and you can IM people and, you know, someone will, an IM window will pop up and say, hey, how are you doing? And, you know, I'm up at 3 a.m. I'll be like, who is up at 3 a.m? But then you realize they're in Australia. I'm like, whoa. So it's been fun. And it's, you know, I've met a ton of people and, you know, so have others. On the site, it's all about meeting people, and the more photographers you meet, the more you can learn. That goes back to, you know, with, that's why I like to shoot with a lot of people, group shoots like that, because everybody has a different style, everybody does it differently, everybody has a different eye, and you can learn from everyone.
With the website, you mentioned that there's 2 different parts. There's Photography Mentor, and then there's the Playground within that. Can you tell us a little bit of a difference between the two? Is there a membership that you need to have for the Playground or for the rest of the site? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
The Playground is free. They're both hosted at the same location. It's just photographymentor.com.
Okay.
The Playground is free. We named it the Playground because that's the social side of it, and obviously the school is, you know, it's very, very focused on learning in the videos. But the Playground part of it is, I mean, it's kind of like a Facebook, but geared directly to photographers. You know, I'm on Facebook as well, and I get contacted by old girlfriends from high school, and I don't really like that because that's really not what I'm on there for. I'm trying to network with, you know, photographers and videographers and people in my industry. So, you know, we had wanted to launch the Playground in the school at the same time, but it just, we couldn't get it done in time, the Playground side anyway. But the Playground side, you know, you have your own profile. You can upload your own videos of yourself working if you want to, you know, upload tutorials or promo videos or, you know, whatever you've shot. A lot of people will upload their slideshows from their wedding. You know, you have groups that you can create. You can create your own photography group in your city. That's how we got together and did the Trash Address shoot at Robert Evans Studios here in L.A. We just made a group for it. And then people sign up for the group. And then, you know, each group has its own dedicated forum. So, you know, if you're in the Florida photography group, you know, you have your own dedicated forum. So you can only talk with people from Florida if you want to. And it's just a great tool to meet people and learn from other people. You know, like I said, that's how I got to do that shoot in Canada. I met a photographer from the site that lives in Canada. You know, word got out that we were doing that shoot, and 4 or 5 other people drove in from, I think Jolene is another member, she drove in from 8 hours away. So it's a great tool to connect with other photographers.
And how much is the membership for it?
The membership for the Playground is free. You can get it free. And that's just at photographymentor.com. The school membership is $165 for a year, or it's $105 for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
look at it, $165 for, you know, right now anyway, 22 hours of video content is so.
Yeah, that's really affordable.
Yeah, it's really affordable. And our goal is to upload a brand new clip every single week. That was our reason to shoot content for an entire year before we even launched the school. You know, we have probably about 15 or 16 hours of video content just ready to release right now. So, you know, we're looking good. We don't have to go out and shoot, you know, to fill content in school. We have it already. So that was the goal, just to not get behind the eight ball and just, you know, be chasing ourselves to get content up every week. You know, we already have it, so.
Right.
It's when I first started the site with Robert, you know, I was kind of new into the photography industry. And I didn't know the ins and outs and, you know, a lot of the people and the players. And he said, basically, I said, you know, we should do a site. And he said, the only thing is it can't just be about me. And I said, well, he goes, well, you know, after a year of people watching me work and, you know, listening to everything I have to say, you know, they know it. So we need to shoot with as many photographers as we can. And, you know, I agreed with him. I was just surprised he said it, which was it was a good thing. So, I mean, it's been great for me traveling around and shooting with, you know, like a Dane or a Kevin. I mean, what you learn from other photographers is invaluable because, you know, you get set in your ways. It's just like you guys saying when you shoot together, you're bouncing ideas off each other. But, you know, if you get set in your ways, then, you know, you're only going to see it one way. But if you watch other photographers work and you listen to them explain what they're doing, you're just going to learn a ton.
That really sounds awesome how you're pointing that out to, you know, get with other photographers, because things have dramatically changed in the industry over the years, and it's nice to see how it's so much more of an open source environment. I mean, granted, we all have our little cups of sugar that we keep to ourselves, but still, it's becoming much more of a collective in a community of photographers, kind of like a John Nash theory, so to speak. What's probably like the cleverest idea you've seen, you know, when you work with other photographers? I mean, you know, kind of curious about that.
I would say I wouldn't say cleverest, because I've known this technique, but we just shot with John Michael Cooper for the school. He took us out to a dry lake bed just outside of Las Vegas. And if you're familiar with the term painting with light, it's done at night to where it's completely dark. And, you know, you're kind of shining a flashlight to kind of expose the area you want with whatever you're shooting. You just kind of keep the shutter open and you know, you're painting with light, essentially. He kind
right.
of did this in the daytime. It was, you know, the middle of the day. We were out of the dry lake bed in outside of Vegas, so obviously it was bright. So what he did was put his camera on a tripod, set up his bride for the shot. She stayed as still as she could, and he did, I think, 20 to 25 different exposures. He just shot, dot, shot, 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 shot. And while he was doing that, he was just walking around. His wife, Delisa, was actually shooting. And he just walked around and aimed the flash at different parts of the scene to light different areas of the scene. And then he compiled all that in Photoshop from 22 different shots into one shot. And the look is really cool. It's very similar to the look of, you know, the Terrassa dress shoot that I did, where it's, you know, super contrast. It's super colorful, and it almost looks like it's nighttime, which is really cool. So that was a fun shoot, and that was actually the first shoot that we did for the school where we shot it on the 5D Mark II. Robert and I actually filmed that lesson on the 5D Mark II.
That's cool.
We shot two of them, so that was fun to do as well.
That's really cool.
But, you know, just meeting – everyone's different, and just meeting all these different photographers and listening. We always do an interview before we shoot with them just so, you know, the school members can get to know them a little bit if they don't know them already. So you get a little bit of their business sense. You get a little bit of, you know, why they shoot, what they do, you know, why they like doing what they do anyway. A little bit of their background. And then, you know, we play the video clips of them shooting so you see them actually shooting. And what we always do is we mic the photographer. So, you know, as they're talking, know, and we tell them, try to talk out your process as much as you can, so someone who's watching, you know, can get inside your head and kind of almost like they're there with you. Sometimes that's hard to do at a wedding, but, you know, at an engagement shoot or, a model shoot, you know, the photographer can talk a lot more and explain what they're doing.
Now, having the opportunity to get the recording of them talking and in that type of an environment, I want to kind of ask you just the other side of the coin, where I pointed out what's perhaps the cleverest idea, and you had a brilliant, description of that particular shoot. But on the other side of the coin, and maybe, you know, you could help our listeners avoid this, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see up-and-coming photographers making?
Trying to advance, I think, too fast. And when I say that, I mean trying to take on more than you're capable of doing. Mentor Wanted is a good example of that. Not the Chen. She's a photographer in Mentor Wanted that came to Robert
right.
looking for a mentor. Not that she wasn't capable, but she felt in her mind that she was going to fail because she hadn't been trained, and she, you know, she shot her first wedding because she shot honeymoon photos on her own honeymoon, you know, and her friends were like, oh, these are gorgeous, will you do my wedding? So she did it, but she felt she was advancing too fast and that she was eventually going to come into a situation that she did not know what to do.
Right.
I mean, you know, if you shoot 20 weddings a year, you know, you shot 20 weddings, but when you're shooting a person's wedding, that's their only wedding. You don't want to mess that up. You know, you don't want to, mess up somebody's wedding because you don't know what you're doing. That would be a huge mistake, and I've seen it happen a few times where people have just come back and said, you know, I overexposed every shot, or I did this wrong, or you know, the images look awful, and that's kind of devastating to a new photographer. That's why you always recommend, you know, if you go out and second shoot for someone, you know, for free, just to learn, you know what I mean? As many people as you can, go out and second shoot with them. And, you know, you're going to learn a ton. If you know somebody, if you're just starting out, you know, particularly in wedding photography, if you're just starting out and there's photographers, you know, in your area that have been doing it for years, you know, just say, hey, can I come carry your bags and watch you, help you? Can I, you know, second shoot for you, just to learn? You know, you'll learn a lot faster by watching and being there than, you know, just trying to do it yourself and figure it out.
It's very true. It's very, very true. And, you know, I recently received a question where one of our listeners was presented with three different options, and she didn't know if she should go out and either take on like a seminar where she would either learn a little bit more about her craft, or another seminar where she would learn a little bit more about the business, or another seminar a little bit more about her craft and her business. And it's a tough line to, you know, really come across and get over.
Yeah. I mean, I've been around production. I've been around photography. It's just my nature that nothing really rattles me. But, you know, I've been in some situations, particularly at weddings. It's a very stressful day. It can be a very, very stressful day if things aren't going right. And if you're adding to that stress because you're unsure of what you're doing, it's just – It's not a good situation. So, you know, you really want to be confident before you take on something like that you can pull it off, you know, especially if you're the lead shooter and you're the photographer capturing that day.
Right.
So, I mean, that's why in the school we have videos from a ton of different photographers. And, you know, photographers are very visual, and they want to – when you watch somebody shooting and you see what they're doing, you right down to just, you know, directing – clients and directing talent, you know, that, like, Robert has a very, you know, easygoing way with his bride and grooms, and I'm a little bit more, not forceful, but I'm a little bit more excitable, I guess you could say, but just watching how different photographers, you know, relate differently to their clients and, you know, direct their clients differently, that's invaluable, because you can take little things and kind of, when you see a situation that's similar that comes up, you know, you can apply what you saw, you know what I mean? So that's really why we really wanted to have a lot of videos from a lot of different photographers on the site. It's invaluable. I mean, I've learned a ton, for sure, over the last couple of years.
Where do you think somebody should start off when they get into Photography Mentor, and you know they totally do the whole year membership and they've got all access pass? What do you think would be the first place that they should really start off when they become a member?
Watch every single video 10 times, you know, watch, you know, you watch it once and like, you know, there's, one of the first ones we shot was, it was an engagement shoot with Robert at, the UCLA campus. It was just a couple. He was walking around just doing an engagement shoot with them. But a lot of people have written saying, you know, that helped me tremendously because I felt like Robert was talking to me. Because, you know, he's mic'd and he's just talking as he's shooting. And he goes, and, you know, a lot of people just said it was just a simple shoot. You know, the images look great, but it's just nice to watch other people work. So, I mean, once you get the year membership, you know, watch every single video as many times as you can. And you'll pick up different things. You know, every time you watch a video, you might see something different. And, you know, for the techie people on the site, after each shoot, the photographer will pick, you know, like 10 to 20 of their favorite images. And what we do is we turn those into PDF cheat sheets, which is basically the image with all the EXIF data and a little bit of a story behind each shot from the photographer. Like, you know, it can be an emotional story or why he shot what he shot. But those are really helpful because it has all the technical data of the shot. So, you know, a lot of people download those and, you know, put them on their iPhones or, you know, make little books out of them. So that's a little bit more of a technical way of learning that's in the school as well.
That's cool. That's really cool. I think that our listeners would really pick up quite a bit of that because everybody's starting at different levels. And mm-hmm. I love what Roberto Valenzuela said, where he pointed out that we should all approach this like amateurs. Have the desire and the drive and that, you know, childlike wide-eyedness to just really absorb as much as you can. And goodness, I've done this for a very long time, and there isn't a time where I know that Carrie and I go out and I find myself kind of going, that's new. could have tried that. That's different. All right, let's check it out. And, you know, you watch the videos and it's awesome. You know, I feel that you never can learn too much.
No, you never can. I mean, and that's why, you know, people ask us, like, after you've had the site up for 4 or 5 years, do you think you're going to run out of photographers to shoot and you're going to run out of content? I'm like, no way.
No, you haven't asked us yet.
Yeah. Photographers are right now, and how many there are going to be, and, you know, there's always going to be someone that we can shoot with and learn something from. I mean, and Robert, you know, he's been doing it for 15 years, and even he was like, I love doing what we're doing because, you know, I'm learning too. You know, you get, it's like I said, you get set in your way if you've been doing it for a while. You know, some people do, and you got to look at, you know, what everyone's doing. And I'm the same way, you know, coming from production, I've been doing it for 15 years, and, you know, I don't think I know everything. I know I don't know everything. And you just got to kind of take that attitude that you're saying is, you know, you can learn something new every day. And, you know, nobody knows it all because it's pretty much impossible.
That's true. And we always encourage people to find the sites that they really like to participate in, and whether it be Photography Mentor or B-School or Fast Track Photographer or all of them if they have the time. But you certainly should always be involved with the community of other photographers, get involved with what they're doing, have these group photo shoots. Yeah, network with them. Work will come your way out of it. You're not teaching the competition. I mean, it's not like that at all. And that's why we have the Camera Dojo website. That's why we do this podcast. That's why we have, you know, all the guests that we have are so willing to share because it makes it better for everybody. So we definitely encourage people to go to the Photography Mentor site, sign up, check it out. There's tons of stuff in it. The videos are fantastic. The cheat sheets are great. The forums, the groups, you know, hook up with people in your area. I mean, that's what it is. It's a social network for photographers. So yeah. Get involved, even if you don't want to pay for it. Get involved.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. You get out of it what you put into it. You know, if you get on there and you just, you know, you don't do anything, you don't go into the forums, you don't make a group, you know, you're not going to get as much out of it as people that go in there and, you know, they're on there every day and just looking at the new photos people put up, and they're reading the forum posts, and they're, you know, they're talking to other photographers. And, you know, you go in the chat room one night, there could be 10, 15 photographers in there from all around the world just talking, you know what I mean? And just, oh, well, this is what I shot over here, and this is what I shot, you know, people from Australia or wherever.
Or Candace, because she's on there 24/7.
Exactly. Candace is actually a moderator now. She's actually helping us. She's helping us put together our Photo Fusion tour, which we're going to go on the road in a couple months. But yeah, she's awesome.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So that's Robert and I are kind of putting that together right now. It's probably going to be about a 2-day workshop. We're going to take it to 10 cities and teach, you know, the basics of editing, the principles of editing. You know, pairing it with photography and lighting and a whole lot of good stuff. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, it's great. Be sure and let us know so we can help promote that.
Okay.
Oh, heck, skip that. We'll just be there and we'll just go ahead and help out with the interviews.
We'll just be the press there.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go. Bring your fog machine. That'd be sweet. And maybe you can do like an intro of me and I'll walk out of the fog.
Oh, sweet.
That'd be cool.
Well, because I was thinking of investing in some lasers. So lasers and the fog combo.
Oh, lasers and fog? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
lasers,
okay.
Look pretty cool.
Yeah, we're there. We're there, man.
It's going to be like a rave.
Well, this, let's see, where are we at? We're at 76 minutes. So we're pretty
nice.
Long. And, you know, Kurt, we want to thank you for being on. I mean, you got a sore throat, probably not, you know, not feeling 100%, but you took the time to participate, and we really appreciate that. And we'll have links to all the cool things that he's done, engaging films, the photo rotos, the burnout video on Vimeo, and photography mentor, and anything else we can think of that we can link to you for so people can see what you're doing. And again, we just want to thank you for taking the time and sharing with our listeners. I think they're going to get quite a bit out of this.
Oh, thank you guys. You guys are doing a great job. That's,
thank you.
Just in case you're wondering, you can also find your podcast on our site. It's one of the featured podcasts.
That is true.
That's right. That's right.
Our partnership with Photography Mentor.
It is on there.
Adds that much more value. That's right. They should become a member.
That's right. I mean, well, and I'm looking forward to the next time that we do a shoot and, you know, getting together again, because it is a lot of fun to shoot with other people. And we harp on that all the time. So you should do it no matter where you're at. And I'm looking forward to shooting with them again and just hanging out and having a good time and just playing around with some theme. And the last time it was water and it just happened to be freezing cold. Oh, well, you know, I mean,
yeah,
things happen.
We should have done fire that night.
Yeah, should have. But
yes.
What can you do? You know, it was still fun.
Awesome.
So thanks much. And we appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
That was a cool conversation. Kurt's a really cool guy. I met up with him out at WPPI as well. He has some great ideas on what's going on with video, and he's certainly planning on taking it in some interesting directions.
I'm completely floored. Completely floored. I know Kurt's just an amazing guy. He's got such a dynamic background in fashion, portraits, weddings. I mean, I look at his work and I'm just amazed and at the same time inspired, because I can appreciate just the talent and the creative process that he puts into it. And now with this whole fusion bit, wow. It's like, I just want to go get a 5D Mark II right now and just go shoot. Like, let's just go.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I there's definitely some, we have a difference of opinions in some areas. I'm not sure that it's going to be such a big thing because of the workflow issues that photographers have, but I may be proven wrong. You know, when we talked to Mike Wong from On1 Software, and he was talking about them, you know, adding video capabilities to some of their Photoshop tools.
Yes.
You know, if we can get the workflow to be all part of the same process, then it's going to make it easier for photographers to do video. But I don't want to bounce back and forth between different applications and or different tool sets. I just want one workflow to do what I want to do. And we're just not there yet.
It's getting there. I really think that because the creative tools and the software and the creative technology is really starting to meet the creative mind. And I mean, remember back in the day with Photoshop when it was just coming out and how frustrated we would get? We'd be like, but it's not doing this. It's not able to do that. And I remember just getting so mad. And now with CS4 being out, and you just kind of go, what do I want to do? That's amazing. And I think that this is going to hit that same level as well. We're going to get over that hump, and then so many more people are going to be out there going, look at all the great things that I could do, whether it's applicable to their business or just some creative fun stuff. They can totally express themselves.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm really excited about it. I guess I'm just starting to kind of come around. You know, I'm getting over that Las Vegas plague, and I'm just so stoked about, you know, just the advances of what's going on in technology and how it's meeting the creative mind. It's going to be a neat experience over the next 3 to 5 years and then going into the future.
Yeah. Well, we're going to try and cut this short and let you guys get going. Well, over the next couple of weeks, we do have some more interesting things that we're going to be doing. We've got Roberto Valenzuela is going to come back on, and we're going to wrap up our photo contest on Converging Lines. There is still the contest going on to win the 12-month subscription to Pictage Pro. So be sure and check out the previous episode and learn more about that. And we also have some new contests that are coming up where one of the prizes is going to be a Lens Baby Composer. So we haven't announced what that's going to be yet, but I'm going to tell you about what the prize is so you can start thinking. What else do we have? Oh, we're going to be doing a review of the Canon EOS 50D. And I'm looking forward to that. We were really excited about the 5D, and the 50D just isn't getting a lot of coverage. So we're going to actually get one of those, rented one from borrowlenses.com for a weekend, and we're going to go out and shoot with it and see what we think. So I'm looking forward to that.
I'm really looking forward to checking out that rig. I currently shoot with all the 40s. I'm looking to see the different advances that they've made with that particular body. And we've got some shoots coming up this weekend, which is, the timing is just perfect. Also, you guys, let us know what you think about the show. We're always welcome to your feedback and constructive criticism as well. So please share your thoughts with us. If you get an opportunity, go check us out on iTunes, and feel free to share your thoughts and your comments. And if you feel so inclined, leave a 5-star review, because that definitely helps build the show and gets us out there to some more products and appeal to different guests that can come on the show and get you more of what you want to hear. I just lost my train of thought. Much DayQuil.
Where can they find you?
You can find me at EsquirePhotography.com. I'm also on Twitter at Twitter.com/EsquirePhoto. I'm also on Facebook and pretty much everywhere else that's available to you in the virtual mediums. And where can we find you, Carrie?
In Irvine.
Of course. I'm in Huntington Beach, and you're in Irvine. There we go.
Of course, you can find me at CameraDojo.com in the forums, post comments to the show notes, and CarrieGarrison.com, Twitter.com/CarrieGarrison. You can follow the show at Twitter.com/CameraDojo. And there's also a Facebook fan page for the show, which is kind of cool. And I'm always posting new stuff in there. And if you follow us on follow the show on Twitter, I'm also posting links to other cool things that I find around the net. So it's a kind of a good way to not just keep up with Camera Dojo, but other things that are going on. So we're going to go ahead and say goodnight, and we will catch you next week.